Don't care what people say. All I wanna do is live for today and get ready to be surprised. Now it's time to let it all go. Feel the love is all there is to know and get ready to be surprised.
Hi, everybody. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. It's nice to see you back here again. This is a show focusing on all the attention on saving the world by eliminating climate change so that everybody will be happy and the climate will never change again. And my understanding is the best way to do that is you pay taxes to a new carbon exchange where they open up like a new stock market and then climate stabilizes out because of that. But we're going to clarify that with our guest today, who's a friend of ours from years ago on Lost Arts Radio, Alex Newman, who's a foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine. And it's always really fun to talk with him. And a couple of times ago that he was with Lost Arts Radio, it was right after the Paris conference had finished, Paris Climate Accord, they called it, for meeting for that. And again, that was an attempt to save the world from climate change and global warming by starting up these taxes and other austerity measures for reducing the use of energy by individuals all over the world. Apparently, the U.S. destroyed that by saying they wouldn't give up their sovereignty, and so climate's still unstable and the world's still in danger. But this is another attempt by the same groups to bring everybody to their senses and get rid of things like individual freedom, which is proven unsustainable, and bring sanity back to the world by having a centralized tyranny that makes sure everybody is safe and under control and surveillance. And so that's happening now in Poland, and Alex is over there now, and we're going to find out what he's doing, and then this will be a short session, and then he'll be back after the conference is over to tell us what was actually accomplished and what the experience was like. So thanks for being here, Alex. I'm looking forward to getting to talk for a few minutes. It's nice to see you back.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Richard. It's great to see you again, and looking forward to it.
So I was under the understanding that this conference is a bit longer than, and it's already underway in, I guess, a city called Katowice or something like that in Poland.
Yeah.
Is it already started and this is the middle of it, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're getting close to the end now. It's actually been running for the last week and a half or so, and technically it ends this coming Friday, which would be, I think, December 15th, something like that, maybe December 14th. And so it's been going for a while, and now we're down to the wire here. They were supposed to come up with the draft negotiating text, as they call it, earlier this evening. I don't know whether that has happened yet. I haven't had a chance to check, but that's where we are in the process, and they hammer out the last few details in the last couple of days. So
what is your official capacity as observer? Are you going in connection with the magazine work, or how are you there?
Yeah, so I am a official correspondent here with the press the foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine, reporting on the goings-on here. And I've been to many of these in the past, always as a correspondent with the New American, and went to the UN Sustainable Development Conference down in Rio de Janeiro. So very, very similar stuff, and they do allow journalists in, which is nice.
Okay, so what's happened so far, since a lot of it has happened already?
Well, you know, they got it off with a bang. The Secretary General, who's a card-carrying member of the Socialist Party, actually was the leader of the Socialist International, which is the global alliance of socialist and communist parties, massive alliance. I think they've got more than 100 political parties represented in their organization. Many of them are in government. Many of them have a history of mass murder, blood of millions of innocent people on their hands. So that's who we're dealing with. And he started off the conference.
Tell me again what's don't lose your train of thought, but tell me again what's his title? Is did
he's
you say
the
he was
United Nations Secretary General? So he's the big cheese of the United Nations.
All right, I should know his name, but why don't you tell us his name?
It's Antonio Guterres. He's a Portuguese man, and you know, big globalist. I wrote an article about him right when he was selected, a globalist, socialist, extremist. And that's what he is. In fact, it could have been worse. The UN tried to put in an actual communist named Irina Bokova, who I had spent a year or two earlier exposing. And the Rothschilds were openly behind her. So, you know, powerful, powerful coalition behind her. But then the exposure caused her to be her nomination to be derailed. So they settled for a globalist, socialist. But he started off the conference here with big, big ideas. He said, basically, we're going to, I mean, his exact quote was, we're going to transform the world to save the climate. And he said, you know, we've got to transform the economy. We've got to transform our lives. We've got to transform our way of thinking. We've got to transform everything you can think of so that we can become sustainable. And so that, as you mentioned earlier, we don't want the climate to ever change again. And apparently reducing our CO2 emissions will cause that to happen. So in the intervening time, there's been a lot of hot air. It's been snowing all day today outside, of course, because Al Gore.
That's global warming, though.
Yeah. That is. And now they'll tell you that, right? The record snow and the record cold is because of global warming. And that's what we predicted all along. When if you actually read their report, they actually predicted less snow, warmer winters. It's just.
I remember. But that's why climate change is such a useful term.
It's just perfect.
A hurricane. You can use it pretty much under any conditions. Yeah.
That's right. More of this, climate change, less of this, climate change. It's warm, it's cold, it's snowing, it's hot. So it's brilliant. And basically what they're focusing on here is coming up with, you know, we spoke after the Paris Agreement. They came up with this massive agreement that basically we're going to deindustrialize the Western countries. We're going to take everybody's freedom. We're going to centralize power at the regional and then the global level through the United Nations. And then communist China gets all the industry, all the productive capacity, and everybody else takes their orders from the UN. And so now this, of course, Donald Trump announced that we're going to be pulling out from that. So a big part of this has dealt with, you know, how do we deal with the growing defections? But the goal of this conference, as they say it, is to create the rules of the road, so-called, the rules of implementation for this Paris Agreement. In other words, you know, how big of a check is your government going to have to cut to third world dictatorships that have kept their people poor? How much are you going to have to pay in indulgences for your carbon dioxide emission sins, right? We all know that your carbon dioxide caused that drought in, you know, pick your country. And so you owe reparations to those people. And we're going to decide here how much you're going to have to pay to you know, be absolved of your sins. And that's essentially what's going on here, Richard.
And who do you actually, when you want to make up for, you know, a bad effect of global warming, like a blizzard that froze a whole town or something like that, who do you pay to make that okay, specifically?
Well, you know, it's very convenient. They have a number of companies that you can purchase carbon credits from. A lot of them work with the UN and the World Bank. And, you know, what they do, they'll basically take like an African village and they'll say, well, you guys are unsustainable. They'll bulldoze all the houses, plant some trees there and say, voila, carbon credits, right? So you can pay those companies. So Al Gore and his cronies can make a lot of money. But what they're really trying to do here, and, you know, this is the overarching goal, they want to do what they call putting a price on carbon. And even the term carbon is very misleading, right? Carbon, you think of black dirt. Whereas carbon dioxide is, you know, the gas of life, right? You literally exhale it. Every plant in the world needs carbon.
Well, ultimately, the way to be safe from carbon is to eliminate life on the planet, I would think.
That's the only way.
If you want to be the most efficient, because all the life forms are mostly carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, right, in some
form. That's right. That's right. And that's when you realize how insane this is, that they're literally calling the gas that you exhale, the gas that every plant on the world needs to grow, to exist, they're calling that a dangerous pollution that you need to pay a tax for. And, of course, when you realize that you literally emit CO2 no matter what you're doing. I mean, you're sleeping, you're sitting on the couch, no matter
unless
what you're
hold
doing.
Your, if you hold your breath, you don't, though, right?
Right, and then it'll not come out your much. Nostrils eventually, right? So, I mean, that's the situation here, where they're literally trying to persuade humanity that the gas that you exhale is a dangerous pollution, and that if you pay the United Nations lots of money and give up all your freedom, then that pollution will come under control, and then we'll save the planet.
Yeah, the pollution will be there, but it's offset by the money.
Exactly.
So it's safe.
Richard, you
pollution.
Get this. I mean, you would fit in perfectly.
I've been studying this for a while. Okay. Yeah, I could be a delegate.
That's the trick. Very good.
Except I'd be impatient with them beating around the bush. Look, you're just supposed to eliminate all the people. Actually, eliminating all the people would not really do it, because you've got animals that are polluting every day of their life.
And those volcanoes, man. What are you going to do? Someone's got to charge a tax on those volcanoes. And the decomposing leaves. I mean, there's all kinds of sources of this.
Well, that would be one reason to put ownership on undersea volcanoes, because they're not only putting out carbon dioxide, which plants can use, but they're putting out methane, which I don't think plants like very much. Yeah. And if somebody owned those volcanoes, then they could be taxed. They're really,
you would fit right in here, Richard. You would just be perfect. I mean, you would fit right in with any of these delegations here, coming up with new ways to tax these dangerous, polluting entities like those horrifying volcanoes, and tying it back to a human. And they've been very clear here that humanity is the enemy. Going back to the Club of Rome, in 1991, in their report, the Global Revolution, they said that the enemy then is us. Right? Humans are the enemy, and you see this when you go to these conferences. They have the posters with, the humanity is the enemy. And the sick earth. Yeah. You have a disease called humans, right? So that's the mindset here.
Well, and that's one big advantage of switching over to robots, is they don't excel at anything, as far as I know.
And they don't complain, right?
Yeah, no,
work harder. Give me all your money. Okay, yes, master.
Yeah, it's incredible. So the problem is countries, I guess the ultimate solution is, if the current president in the U.S. and a few other countries are planning not to be signatories to this, then they just have to change the regime change, as they say, right? Have to wait for somebody better to get in as president.
And that's one of the things that they're trying to do. It's been really interesting here vis-a-vis the Trump administration. Just a couple of days ago, actually yesterday, December 10th, the Trump administration held a side event where it was literally called promoting fossil fuels. So they came and they said, talked about the benefits of coal and the benefits of oil, and how there's people all over the world who don't have energy in their houses. They have to cook their food on dung, and how great it would be that these people can have energy. And you should have seen what a spectacle it became. You had the whole room filled with these grumpy, feminist, angry protesters. America's evil, genocide, rushing up on the stage.
Was that close to where you are geographically right now?
That's right below me, like literally right below me.
Oh, wow.
The side event was held, yeah. So it was here in the UN facility. And, of course, the UN police protected the protesters as they rushed the stage where Trump's officials were, holding a big banner saying, keep it in the ground. Of course, they all flew here on airplanes, but that's the good oil, because they're coming here to save the planet.
Right,
the bad oil is the one that you use to heat your home if you're not a UN bureaucrat.
And they may have already paid carbon credits to themselves, too.
That's
or carbon
exactly
taxes,
what they
so they'd be
That's
safe.
That's exactly what they say, Richard. See, you understand this. I mean, you would be like a master here at
the only problem is I need more brainwashing, because I've still got some extremist ideas. For example, I think there's no shortage of so-called fossil fuels. I don't even think they're fossil fuels. I think they're generated continually by the earth. However, they have some serious drawbacks. I mean, they're really dirty. Some of them end up in the ocean, and they don't do a lot of good for the air, but there are clean and free energy technologies which those same people are making sure never come into the hands of the low-class humans like myself and other people. And
that would free everybody from having to pay massive amounts of money to the Rockefellers and the mega banks.
And also you can use petroleum fuels as an excuse for war, which has worked great up to now. And they've been able to destabilize whole continents. And, you can see the real... I'm not supposed to talk about any of this stuff. I'm amazed we're still on these platforms. But, I get less and less cautious, because this stuff seems really important. Like, you can see the real energy policy of the U.S. by what happened to Stanley Meyer, right? And don't ever say his name or you get banned right away. But he demonstrated all over America that you could drive... A dune buggy was the car that he tested on nothing but water, and it worked great. And he all he did was come up with a technology for a low energy input hydrolysis system for the water, separating out the hydrogen and dropping it into the engine as needed, so you don't carry around a tank of hydrogen, which is dangerous. And the car worked great. And he was met by government agents who said, yeah, we'll buy your patent. We know what you're after is to make $1 trillion or something.
You definitely need some more brainwashing, Richard, because you really shouldn't be talking about these kinds of things. The real solution, and everybody knows, is to have bird chopping windmills where you need a lot of rare earth minerals that you'll have to buy from communist China. And of course,
birds breathing out CO2 as well.
Right. See, so good. You understand some of it. That's very good.
Yeah, but no, I'll try to stay in all seriousness. Right, as much as I can.
It's so unbelievable. It's as if these people flew here on magic carpets powered by rainbows and unicorn flatulence. And they seriously expect us to believe that they want... And they literally flew in here on private jets, and they show up here in fleets of limousines. And then they tell us you need to ride your bike more, and you need to quit eating meat, and you need to do basically whatever we say. You need to give up your ability to have lots of children. You need to surrender your free speech. You need to do... X, Y, and Z. So, they have a good plan for your life, and anybody who has anything else to say is a radical, an extremist, a bigot, a racist, an anti-Semite, a homophobe, or someone who wants to commit crimes against humanity by destroying the environment.
Yeah, exactly, like by breathing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what? How long is this? Like 10-day conference or something? Or how
it goes for 2 weeks. It started last Monday, which was December 4th, I think, and it goes through the end of the week now, which will be Friday, December 15th, something like that. And they're supposed to come up with the final agreement by Friday. But typically, in my experience, coming to a lot of these things, they'll probably come out with the final agreement on Saturday, which will be December 15th or 16th. So,
Saturday. It's the 15th, right?
Yeah, so that'll probably be the day they come up with the final agreement.
So that means people have to stay late and hang around to sign it, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's what typically happens. Yeah, because they want to put on a big show for all the fake media here. So, all the countries, we're negotiating so hard to get the best deal for our slaves. I mean, citizens, right?
Yeah,
they work all through the night. At least they pretend to. They're actually downstairs eating caviar and drinking champagne. But
it's amazing how selfless all these people are.
Oh, my goodness. If only you knew. I mean, can you imagine how tough it must be going to five-star hotels and resort cities all over the world and partying? I mean, it's a tough life, Richard, but somebody's got it.
So. Do they have the guarantee that after they pass these things that they'll still be able to keep their jets and stuff like that?
they're obviously exempt from all these things. Yeah, in fact, they literally are exempt from all these things. They all have a diplomatic immunity, so they're not even subject to criminal laws. They can rape children, and they do, many of them. In fact, we've exposed this for years at the New American Magazine. Can't hold them accountable because they're above the law. They can rape their colleagues. They can do pretty much anything they want, and then persecute the reporters who report these things, and nobody can touch them. So that's how it works, right? One law for us and one law for them.
Right. Interesting. Seems like an efficient two-tier system.
It's brilliant if you're one of those guys.
So what are the countries causing trouble for this besides the United States?
Well, Trump has caused a lot of trouble for them. But unfortunately, a lot of the State Department bureaucrats, some of them are Obama holdovers, and they're just acting like Trump doesn't exist. They're just working away as if everything was the same. It really is crazy. I hope Trump will whip out his "you're fired" card.
I don't understand why he doesn't start going on television himself, direct to the public, two or three times a week and explaining everything.
Must think alike, Richard. I've been saying the same thing. Call a press conference. Make every fake news outlet in the country. It's something really important. Broadcast it on Twitter too and tell the people, hey, your freedom's under threat. These are the people who are doing it. This is what they're doing. And, they won't be able to cover that up.
Right. So, and even for people who are working for him who are there to sabotage him, couldn't he explain all of that in detail?
I wish he would do that.
I don't understand why he wouldn't have started that the first week.
I don't either. And now he's lost his Republican majority in the House, so life is about to get much more difficult for him. And we're still not out of the Paris Agreement. There's a misconception out there that
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, we're still in that thing. Technically, we're in until the day after the 2020 election. And that's the situation. So, and all the globalists here will tell you that, the U.S. is still part of the Paris Agreement.
What holds the U.S. in it until then? What's going on?
This is a very interesting scam they pulled. So Obama signed this, he called it an executive agreement, right, because he knew the Senate would never ratify it as a treaty. So they signed an executive agreement called the Paris Agreement that you can't, it takes you like something like 4 years and a day from the date you announce it to when you withdraw. So even if Trump had announced that we were withdrawing on the very first day he took power, it would have had to go to the next election before we could officially withdraw. Now, if you ask me, and if you ask legal experts, that's a complete and total load of rubbish.
Well, yeah, what I would say is there's no such thing as an executive agreement.
Exactly. This is an unconstitutional piece of garbage to begin with. We have no business acting like this is a legitimate instrument. We never agreed to be bound by this. It's unconstitutional. So even if the Senate had ratified it, it's rubbish. But
yeah, it's like in the Vietnam War, they said, we're not doing a war, we're doing an incursion, so it's fine.
It's a police action. That's right. It's not war. So we don't need Congress to declare war. And I don't understand why Trump is playing along with this. And actually, I had an opportunity at the fossil fuel event because you had all these high-level officials, you know, assistant secretary for energy, whatever. They had good things to say. Hey, we're going to burn oil and coal, and we need energy for people, and we're not going to, you know, go back to the Stone Ages and live on windmills. Mm-hmm. That's ludicrous.
Right.
But they acted. They give credence to this notion that CO2 is somehow bad, and that we need to eliminate CO2. So they were actually pitching this as like, well, you know, we can make oil burn in a way that's CO2 friendly and climate friendly. So they're agreeing with the presuppositions, even though they're not going along with the agenda. So in my view, it's very problematic.
Are these guys totally oblivious to the fact that the really advanced technologies are all being hidden by the deep state?
They've had them for
100 years.
I'm sure that the rank and file bureaucrats are totally oblivious. At the higher levels, they certainly know. But it's sad to see. And Trump could have done so much more to blow this thing up, right? Come here. And, he's got a science advisor, William Happer. I had an opportunity to interview him at a conference where he and I both spoke about climate a couple years ago. And this guy's advising Trump on climate. And he'll tell you openly, this whole global warming alarm, it's a giant hoax, right? It's absolutely ludicrous, the idea that your CO2 emissions are driving climate.
The advisor said that?
Yeah, Trump's advisor. His name is Dr.
Well, then how come nothing happened?
I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for it. So unfortunately, even though Trump has done a lot in exposing this and discrediting it, and he announced that we're withdrawing, so the countdown has started, we're not out of the woods yet. But, so you asked me who's causing trouble. I would say the Trump administration is definitely causing trouble,
right.
As far as the conference is concerned, but not nearly as much as they could or should be. You have the Brazilian government. I don't know if you saw the new election there. They just elected a Jair Bolsonaro.
Okay,
so
that was super good.
It was amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Especially the fact that he didn't die from the knife attempt, right?
Yep, that was a deep state assassination attempt, I'm sure. A lone nut, as it always is.
Right. No connection to anybody.
Exactly. Just totally crazy nut job, right? I went down to the Brazilian booth downstairs, and I said, what is your new president? Does he believe in this global man-made global warming hypothesis? And the first guy said, no comment. And the second guy said, no, he doesn't believe. So that was encouraging. And, I don't know if you saw, but he announced already that they had committed to host the COP25 next year in Brazil, and the president-elect said, hey, we're not doing that, sorry. And that was a major slap to the UN, right, because the UN's run by this Portuguese man, I told you, the socialist, and the Brazilians and the Portuguese typically have a special relationship. So this was a big slap to the UN. His new foreign minister, Jair Bolsonaro's new foreign minister, has called global warming, or the theory of man-made global warming, a communist or a Marxist hoax. So that was interesting. So the Brazilians are causing some trouble here. Not the low-level bureaucrats who are negotiating away, but at the higher levels. You have Australia is also causing some trouble.
Really? That's interesting.
It is.
Because the Australian government is really nasty in a lot of ways.
It is.
I mean, they've really taken many of the rights away from the citizens. And one, it's not just the firearms, which they piled up and destroyed, but also they're saying, it's your choice whether to get your child injected with poison or not to keep them healthy. But if you don't, you don't get any welfare.
That's right.
They've got policies like that.
Exactly. And it's getting worse, unfortunately. But the prime minister's advisor has said that the global warming theory is a UN ruse, was the term he used. They're absolutely right. They actually had their ambassador for the environment at Trump's side event promoting fossil fuels. So that was interesting.
One thing I've noticed is that the whole, if you change from global warming to climate change and include warming, cooling, staying the same or whatever, the disruption in normal climate is, I think, man-made. I've come to this conclusion, and is a threat to the whole biosphere. But the origin of it is almost 100% geoengineering, and I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that discussed.
There's a lot of talk of geoengineering going on here. They're talking about experimenting with ways to dim the sun.
Yeah, they're saying it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm saying it's a danger to all life.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, no question about it, Richard. I'm on the same page with you here. No question. You had the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, a guy called Richard Haass. For those who don't know, the CFR is like the premier globalist organization in America, pushing us toward global government and totalitarianism. And you had the head of this just recently say, with Trump in the White House, we better start exploring new ways to geoengineer, otherwise the climate change is going to get us. Right. So they're now openly advocating. Re-engineering the planet.
They're acting as if they might start it instead of having been experimenting since the 40s at least and heavy since the early 90s.
Yep.
But so it's not just the dimming. I mean, the dimming is like between 20 and 30% somewhere now, which is catastrophic in itself. So that's some climate change that's real with the sun not reaching the earth. But another part of it is just... It's literally poisoning the soil to the point where only certain GMOs that are toxic will grow.
Yep, and I've read a lot about that. I'm not an expert, but I've seen some of the stuff that is it Dave Higgins out of California has been, or Dan Higgins has been putting out. It's very, very troubling what they're up to, and I suspect that they're hoping to do a whole lot more of it, and I have a strong suspicion that it has absolutely nothing to do with saving us from global warming.
No, but I think it does have to do with creating climate disruption.
Absolutely.
So that they can say climate change should terrify you enough to give up all your rights. For example, these weather phenomena, new kinds of clouds, and these, like in the United States, that most of the prevailing wind used to go from west to east. It was originally called the trade winds. Now they've got it coming from west to east over Canada and then dropping straight down, to Texas or below in these things called polar vortices that I don't think existed before. I think those are being created by the geoengineering.
Yeah, I've heard and read a lot about that. Unfortunately, I'm not up to speed where I should be, but I have no doubt that these people are up to some very, very crazy things. And, we've known since the 50s that they've been experimenting with weather modification and getting rid of clouds or causing rain and things like that. And it's just unbelievable.
We had a scientist named Clifford Carnicombe on our show a couple times, and he's taken the residue from the spray activity and analyzed it as much as he can. A lot of it's still unidentified, but he's got the toxic metals of the aluminum, barium, strontium, and other things, but also biological weapons, dried blood cells, cross-domain bacteria, which are not natural to the earth, and stuff like that. So it's more than dimming, but that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, people need to stand up and say no to this stuff. I mean, who do these globalists think they are? They're going to take our freedom, mess up the planet, take all our money, and empower mass murdering dictators and coalitions of mass murdering dictators like the United Nations and the different groupings here. I mean, it's so insane. It's so outrageous. And yet when you're here trapped in this bubble, it's like, we came across a German today. It was talking to the IPCC lady at the front desk. Said, "Can you believe we found someone who didn't believe in man was causing global warming?" And so me and my colleague, "Whoa, really? Did you really find someone who said, oh my goodness, how crazy? So what do you think we should do with them?" And the guy literally starts chanting, "Lock them up, lock them up. Whoa, what did I just go into like the twilight zone? These people are totally nuts. They really believe this stuff.
Yeah, you're getting the honor of meeting world patriots.
That's right.
Want everybody to have the correct thoughts.
That's right.
It's amazingly all tied together. And I think most of the people in there, my impression is they think they're working to save the world.
They do. They have this genuine belief that if they could just reduce CO2 emissions, then they're going to save the planet. And it's such a bizarre, it's almost a pathetic spectacle to see, because the ones behind the scenes laugh at these people. How can they possibly believe something so ludicrous? But these poor people in here, oh my goodness, if we don't reduce CO2 emissions by 57% by 2031, then we're going to have a temperature rise of 1.7 degrees, which will cause, as if they had any clue what, any of this stuff was going to do. I mean, they're so clueless, and yet they think they know it all. It's pathetic and very sad.
It's a lot like modern medicine.
Right.
You know, it's like witchcraft. Nobody could be healthy until they got the right amount of toxic chemicals that were called medicine. Yeah. And especially the ones you inject in, but the ones you eat are great too. Just, and they really believe that.
And people who are, you know, brainwashed for 8 years and think they're super educated. I know everything. Yeah. And yeah, how dare you question? I have a PhD.
I'm a doctor.
It's real sad.
Why don't you tell people who may not have seen us before that you're involved in education deeply, right? I mean, that's a big interest of yours.
It is, yep. In fact, we realize that the way that these people are succeeding in pushing their agenda forward is through so-called education. In fact, it's the opposite of education. It's miseducation or uneducation, indoctrination, brainwashing. And so I think there needs to be a realization among people who want to stop this, that education is really the only way we're going to be able to stop, absent, you know, maybe divine intervention or something. Because if people are brainwashed enough that they'll believe that the gas they exhale is a dangerous pollution, or that we need to surrender all power to the United Nations to save us from climate change. You know, if they brainwash 80, 90% of the public, which is about what they have in the government schools in the United States right now, you know, what chance are you going to have to fight back against that? It's hopeless. So we need to be involved in education. I personally teach at the Freedom Project Academy, and me and some of my colleagues are working on a big project right now. We're going to be coming out with a special issue of the New American magazine in January, maybe February, where we are going to be exposing every level of the government education system, giving people options, potential solutions, and showing how, you know, this isn't just about protecting your own kids, and it is to some extent about protecting your own kids, but it's also, you know, if you want your civilization to survive, if you want your freedom to survive, if you want your country to survive, you must get active in this battle in protecting the kids from indoctrination. There is no substitute for this, and if you want your country, your freedom, maybe even your life and your descendants to be okay, you have got to get involved in this fight.
And I guess education at the moment has kind of been replaced by memorizing acceptable information, right?
Rather than
understanding it.
And these crazy mind tricks that they do on the students, you know, they learned a lot from the Soviets. They make the kids think they're thinking critically, but they put them within, you know, this little box. And it's amazing how they've got it down to a science now, you know, in terms of manipulating children to believe that they actually came to these conclusions on their own, when in fact they were guided exactly where the guiders wanted them to go. They've become very, very good at this.
And then when they grow up, they go to conventions like the one you're at, right?
That's right. And then they think they're going to save the world.
It's really amazing to watch that program in operation now. And I think in the UK and most of Europe, and beginning now in the US, they're adding the confusion to the kids starting at like 4 or 5 years old, that they're actually the other gender.
Right.
Than the one they're biologically.
Might have been born in the wrong body. Yep.
Yeah, well, not only that, but in California, which usually leads the way to these kind of things, there, I think, I'm not sure if they've passed this yet, but they may have, that when a baby is born, it doesn't actually have a gender. That's a superstition. But it gets a gender assigned arbitrarily. Like the Nazis would do, right? I'm sure the Nazis never thought of that. But if Nazis were around now and they were really smart, they'd say point out that genders are assigned, you know, and this is a fascist thing to do. So they leave the birth certificate blank and let the parents fill it in when they know what gender the kid's going to be. And they followed this up in the UK and parts of Europe, from what I've heard, that at a very young age, by at least kindergarten or younger, that the kids get to meet with a counselor privately and decide whether to start undergoing chemical gender change.
Yeah, I just wrote an article a couple of weeks ago about a public school in Minnesota. They took an underage child and gave him a quote-unquote sex change, right? They put him on hormones, they took him to have his private parts chopped off and mutilated, and all without the parents' consent, without the parents' knowledge. And so you send your son to school, and then one day he comes home with his private parts missing and says he's a woman or a girl or whatever.
Right.
And now she's trying to sue, and the school says, oh, it was just a worker error, we're sorry, but we're definitely not liable. For that.
We'll try and do better next time, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
And I've heard of some cases where the parents object And they send CPS to steal the children.
Yeah, that's where we're heading now, especially in some of the more liberal states to begin with, you know, California, New York, Illinois. We are entering extremely dangerous territory here. I don't think people realize that. The ironic thing is the cognitive dissonance that exists in the minds of these people is just off the charts, right? On the one hand, they want to ban so-called gay conversion therapy. Like, you were born a homosexual, you're going to stay a homosexual no matter what, and we're going to criminalize anybody who tries to change your sexual orientation. But then, you might have been born the wrong gender, right? Yeah, those private parts, we can rearrange those for you, and then you'll transition to being. And people believe the same. They believe both of these things at the same time. You're born a homosexual and you can never change, but you were born a woman and you can become a man, right? It's unbelievable, Richard.
Yeah, exactly. And they haven't figured out how to change the DNA in each cell, of course, but I guess they're still working on that.
Yeah. DNA is racist or sexist or all of the above.
Xenophobic too, I think.
Right. Absolutely.
So what are the remaining parts of the conference now that are still coming up? What are you looking forward to?
So the big things are going to be happening. Al Gore, the climate guru, is going to be speaking tomorrow. So
wow, you're going to get to meet Al Gore?
Oh, I hope so. Oh, my goodness. I've got a lot of questions to ask him. But, the Gore effect is a well-known thing. You know, every time Gore shows I've experienced this several times. Every time Gore shows up at a climate event or a global warming event, it starts snowing. And this time was no exception. It's literally been snowing.
It's probably just some form of grace, I guess, to try to save.
Hey, maybe God's got a good sense of humor. Huh? But, yeah. But no, so Al Gore will be speaking tomorrow. But the real big thing left here in this conference is they're going to need to go from this draft agreement that they supposedly came up with today. I haven't checked if they actually came up with it. It might come out tomorrow. They've got to go from that to the final agreement. And hopefully, from their perspective, hopefully get everybody to sign on to it. I don't know whether the Trump administration will sign, considering we're not part of we're getting out of the Paris Agreement, supposedly. But that's the plan, and we'll have, I guess, some negotiations over the coming days to get from here to there.
Okay, and basically find out how to enforce it. They're going more and more. I think that the communist ideas, like this group in California, by any means necessary, right? Since you are working to save the world, then whatever accomplishes that is worth it.
That's right. And when you combine this global warming hoax with the Agenda 2030, which is running in parallel with this climate hoax and is an inseparable part of it, you realize they have literally developed, they themselves call it a master plan for humanity, that will literally mean the enslavement of mankind, the end of individual freedom, the end of self-government, and a transition toward a technocratic, totalitarian global state. That is what we're heading toward if these people are not stopped and exposed. And I think at this point it's an open question whether those of us who can see through the charade are going to be able to stop these people.
Yeah, they're trying to criminalize any thought in that direction as fast as possible.
They are. Yeah. I don't know if you know, Richard, but right this moment, right, in parallel with this summit, there's another one going on in Morocco. It's called the Summit on Migration. And,
I have heard of that, right?
Yeah, so they just came up with this agreement. They signed it today, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been yesterday. Fortunately, the Trump administration has said we're not signing that, and then another 12 or 15 governments had the courage to reject it. But what this basically says is migration is a human right. You have the right to move anywhere you want, whenever you want.
Exactly.
You have a right to collect welfare when you get there, so no more borders, no more self-government. We're moving toward a global system. The UN is going to dictate immigration policy. And I just interviewed somebody from the International Organization for Migration today. They said, oh, yeah, man, with this climate change, everybody's going to be moving. You can expect 150 million people within some amount of years. So
exactly. Well, didn't Macron or somebody say that France needed or Europe needed another 600 million by 2050 or something like that?
That's the attitude, right?
I think he said Africa is now the heart of France.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't remember the numbers, but yeah, he said that millions and millions of Africans were going to have to come to Europe, and he got a lot of pushback. He's obviously one of the most unpopular leaders in the world. He's probably less popular than some of the dictators on the world among their own population.
Yeah. But he is trying to fix that now by bringing EU troops into quelling the demonstration.
I saw that, yeah, beating up protesters, and yeah. Very interesting. And the people in France are really upset about the global, literally the things that they were going to impose on the French people to comply with their agreements, with their commitments under the Paris Agreement. The people revolted, and if they revolt in France, which is like the land of big government, how this is going to work in America or freer nations. But
they were experimenting with a tax over 100% or something to see if it would be a good thing.
Yeah, massive increase in fuel taxes. And actually here in Poland, they're doing that too. One of my colleagues is dancing and being goofy. They're trying to get, I think that someone told me it was a 70% increase in the prices of energy here in Poland to comply with these ludicrous UN agreements.
I think that's to take care of paying the carbon exchanges, though, right?
Exactly, right, yeah. They got to put a price on carbon and carbon dioxide, so-called, so that all the UN fat cats can have a lot of money so they can keep going to these conferences. Somebody's got to save the world, right?
That's right. So when you have a president like the current U.S. president who's showing signs of not going along with it and a spirit of being willing to resist all these things, and yet he's got huge blind spots, apparently, because he surrounds himself with people that work against him. And even this latest appointment to the Supreme Court, who in some ways seemed good, has just voted not to hear a case that would stop funding Planned Parenthood. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't surprised at all. You know, I warned about Kavanaugh and even Gorsuch, I haven't been thrilled with. But I think he's getting some advice from some really bad people, and he ought to know better. You know,
I think he really trusts. He appears to trust high-level military people and high-level corporate people.
He comes from the business world where things are different. You know, people are not as backbiting as snakes as they are in the political system. And
right.
I don't think he's just used to that. He's used to, you mess up in the political world, in the business world, you get fired.
But one thing you don't get fired for in the business world is having a successful company that sells some deadly product that hurts people.
Oh,
and
that's
I don't think he has consciousness of that.
No.
You know, in other words, he's wanted to create jobs in the U.S., which is great, not by giving away government money, but by inviting, lowering taxes and regulations and stuff and inviting companies to move back to the country, which is wonderful. But one of the biggest ones from Japan that he supported, that he said was going to be great, is they're into the Internet of Things, and they're going to be really, bringing that up and the 5G rollout and all this stuff. And those are planetary suicide.
Yeah.
And I don't think he has any idea.
I don't think so either. And unfortunately, I don't think he's getting a lot of good information from a lot of his advisors. In fact, I think he's getting a lot of bad information from a lot of his advisors. If you look also at this U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that they came up with, the USMCA.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is an absolute disaster. It's worse than NAFTA. It incorporates big parts of TPP and creates North American bureaucracies, enshrines all these U.N. agreements. It's disastrous.
Well, this is an issue if you're not a superhuman speed reader. What do you do if you cannot read every one of these things yourself? Because the USMCA has hundreds of pages.
It does. And, I think 1,800, yeah.
Yeah, and in there somewhere, for example, is a confirmation that the social media giants can censor anybody they want.
Yeah.
And if you don't have time to read it all yourself as the president, you got to find people around you that are absolutely trustable.
Yeah. And unfortunately, his U.S. trade representative, Robert Lighthizer, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's incredibly untrustworthy. But, the buck does stop with Trump. And I say, he ought to be reading The New American more often so that he can see what's
totally
his monstrosity.
But the other thing is saying, what about, we got another 12 hours to talk about, but I am going to cut it off soon so you can go. But, this brings up so many basic issues. For example, when somebody brings up a moral issue and it's a bill that they're wanting to pass that's tied with all these bad things, and then they've got some vital things in there too, why can't they just separate them, and say, look, Congress, you can't put things together in one yes or no vote that have completely different ramifications. That should be illegal. I mean, It's not. There's no way to have a correct decision on a bill like that except to reject it.
And then
the opposition will say, well, you know, the president's going to shut down the government. Everybody's going to suffer from that. And they demonize him on every so-called news program. But things like that are necessary. I mean, and if you have 1,000 pages waiting for you to read to know whether you're going to sign a bill that Congress has passed, you have to get to the point where you won't sign anything you don't totally understand.
That's right. And Trump should have made that clear 2 years ago. You know, you send me a bill that's got funding for killing babies with Planned Parenthood. You send me something that has funding for, you know, whatever it is he didn't want to support. I'm going to veto the bill and just send me a bill that doesn't have those things in it. Unfortunately, you know, Washington has just become such a cesspool of filth and corruption. This is how things are done.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know. I think the president has to just refuse.
Yep.
But the only way the public wouldn't think he's insane, since the news is going to say that, is start having these conferences with the public over private TV.
Yep. Fireside like chats.
Two or three times a week.
Yep.
And expose what the media is doing, too.
Yep.
Say, look, here's how they twist words. You remember that thing with Acosta in the press conference? And he was from CNN, one of the major reporters.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, he just kept asking these questions. He said, there's no caravan. It's hundreds of miles away. What's wrong with you? You know, are you crazy? And he just wanted to keep asking questions. And that was at the end of his turn. And he just pushed away the interim's arm who was trying to take the mic back. And then CNN and all these other people sued the president for kicking him out.
Yeah,
and I think the judge said, "Yeah, you can't kick out anybody from a press conference. It violates the First Amendment."
Which is ridiculous.
Yep. The judges are getting really corrupt.
They are, and I think that's part of their plan. And yeah, I think they've been formulating for quite some time now. You know, how are they going to hold the fort down while Trump is in office until they can get rid of him? And it was interesting. We were talking about the Council on Foreign Relations earlier. They just came out with an article in their magazine a few weeks ago. Their magazine is called Foreign Affairs. And they advocated the creation of what they call the G9 committee to save the world order from Trump. And they called for all of America's strongest allies, you know, Australia, South Korea, Japan.
Is that G10 Canada. Minus the U.S.?
Well, it would be right. It would be the 10 biggest economies that are close allies of the United States, except the U.S. So they had Canada.
Okay.
The European Union was going to be one of them. And they said, we need a military and economic alliance that will keep the world order together until we can get rid of Trump, and then we can resume building the new world order on a solid foundation.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. And now they're trying to take down all of Trump's associates. There's even a lot of talk just in the last few days in the news that they may have tried to arrest him, which of course would be absolutely unprecedented. But these people are serious and they're insane, and they will stop at nothing to enslave and to murder and to pillage and to steal.
I know. It's amazing. And I mean, we've heard major announcements that if things don't go their way, that they may be, you know, interested in EMP attacks and things like that.
Yep.
To also, of course, blame on the president along with climate change.
Or economic collapse.
Economic collapse has started.
Yep.
I mean, the Federal Reserve, which is probably as big or bigger an enemy of the country than the media even, has started crashing the economy.
Yep, and it sure looks like it. And if we don't recover from the, you know, unfortunately, Trump was taking credit for the good economic things while it was on the way up, and so now he's going to end up owning it on the way down. And
seven interest rates hikes in a row.
Yep, and what a great way to discredit Trump and conservatives and the free market that doesn't exist anymore. Oh, it's all the free market's fault. It's unbelievable.
Right, exactly. And kids are being taught that free market capitalism is totally evil.
Yep.
Racist and fascist and everything.
Yeah, that's exactly the irony of calling free markets fascist.
but that's
what they do.
Along with free speech.
Yeah.
That's definitely fascist.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can say hurtful things, right, that should not be allowed.
And fascist things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess the question is for the U.S., since it's one of the resistance points to this global program, is there any way not to keep bringing in these terrible people to be in the administration? all around a president who's trying to make a change.
Yeah, I think unfortunately he's kind of limited in what he can do too, because if he were to, you know, say announce that Richard Sachs was going to be his Secretary of Health and Human Services, for example, the Senate would say, yeah, actually no.
Right? Yeah, Law Starts Radio is not good enough credentials for that.
Exactly. So no, I mean, you know, he's really limited in what he can do.
Questioning whether there's anybody good who also has credentials, right?
Right, who the Senate would allow through. And I think he was able to get a few of his people through by throwing a bone to Mitch McConnell. He gave Mitch McConnell's wife a position as Secretary of Transportation. She's a thorough globalist, but at least that allowed him to get a couple of good people through. For all the stuff people had to say about Jeff Sessions, he was decent. You know, I think he was an honorable guy. I would have done a lot more to, you know, bring down criminals and a lot less to worry about, you know, non-issues. But now he put in a Bush lackey, right?
As I know.
Nominated.
Well,
Bush
now the temporary guy is pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Yeah, and that's why the Senate Democrats are freaking out.
Right, and the thing with Sessions is, you know, he wouldn't go after any of the major criminals, but he was really into civil asset forfeiture, which I think is a real bad thing.
Yeah, it is.
Wanted to especially fight the states that were legalizing marijuana and say we have to really make a major war against that.
Yeah, that was kind of speaking before he really thought about it, I think, because that ended up not happening.
But he wasn't doing all these things that needed to be done.
No, I know. But he did do a few good things, you know, while he was in office. He tried to loosen up federal restrictions on our local police. As you know, right now there's a feeling in Washington that our local police departments are actually just outposts of the regime in D.C.
Yeah.
And Sessions tried to reverse that process, that trend, and say, no, you know, local police departments work for the local community. And, you know, local communities do what they want. That's not our business here. And I think that was worthwhile. And he also tried to tighten up the asylum rules so that you couldn't just show up here and say, oh, well, I live in a country with violence or domestic violence, and so, you know, I need to move to America. Well, hey, you know, that means every Muslim woman on the planet could technically move into America if they just point to the Quran. So that's not a sustainable
That's true. And a lot of the people trying to force their way into the border from the south right now are apparently just coming because they want a good job.
Yep.
Like about 90%, and then 10% violent criminals. But it's mostly people who said, yeah, I was trained and told that we'd immediately be hired, put on welfare, and given assistance, and taught how to vote for Democrats and the whole program.
Yep. And as soon as Democrats are able, they're going to give amnesty to the 50 million illegal immigrants, and 9 out of 10 of those will vote for Democrats forever, and we'll have a one-party regime for as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, a lot of people are speculating that that's going to happen.
Oh, I mean, they've said openly, a lot of these Democrats have said openly that that's the plan. Right? I mean, that's why they're so obsessed with bringing massive amounts of immigrants into the country. It's not because they have any love for immigrants or anything like that. It's because they want more voters, right?
Now, to really do that full job, they need to take over the Senate as well as the House too, right?
Yep, and I mean, eventually they'll need a Democrat president too, because right now the president could veto any kind of amnesty bill.
They need a two-thirds majority to override that.
Yep, and they don't have that. Even with Paul Rhino, they don't have that. So.
Yeah. So what changes do you expect when the House changes?
Well, I think the Democrat House is going to try to do everything possible to make Trump's life miserable, possibly impeachment, certainly endless hearings, you know, endless fake scandals. Oh, my goodness, they spent $50 on a chair, and that chair should have only costed $48. How dare they?
And it might have been made in Russia. You don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine if it was made in Russia? That would be a scandal.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the big failings of the current president is the hard attitude toward Russia. Because Putin was really offering alliance during the campaign and liking the fact that Trump said we should get along instead of killing the world, you know, which I thought was a really brilliant idea. And he just seems to have given in to the pressure that if you don't have a militant, aggressive attitude toward Russia, then you're proving you're a Russian agent.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's lots of good reasons to be suspicious of Putin. I suspect he's a globalist hoping to build a new world order. But the idea that we need to constantly be, you know, agitating and banging the war drums and sending more money to the military industrial complex and surrendering more freedom under the guise of waging infinite war is crazy. Right. It's just absolutely crazy.
Well, Putin has showed some really positive signs of things that he's doing for the population there. He wanted to be the world's number one exporter of organic food, for example.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty important thing. Mm-hmm. And that's not something the chemical companies would love. Mm-hmm. And he stood up against them. He's trying to take Wi-Fi and EM field generating technologies out of schools. And they're very damaging to kids. So the U.S. isn't doing that at all.
And his ban on homosexual propaganda aimed at children.
He's supporting families.
Yeah,
and he's giving people land to grow food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not invading the world.
No, it's true. And, you know, I'm quite suspicious of him, but, you know, without a doubt, he has done some positive things. And unfortunately, our government seems to be going in the opposite direction right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. We're becoming more like the Soviet Union.
Yep.
They're becoming more like the original America. They're not an atheist country anymore. They're primarily Christian. And I'm not saying we should tell people what religion to be, but the values of trying to have mutual respect and support and appreciation for each other, I think is a pretty good idea.
Yeah, there's some interesting things happening there. And my colleague and I, William Jasper, we wrote a cover story package on Putin looking at kind of what's going on there. And, you know, I concluded in one of the two articles that I wrote that I think he's getting awfully close with the globalists, right? I mean, now he's trying to build this Eurasian Union, for example. But, and that's really troubling. But interesting things happening there, for sure.
And, you know, some of those things are sold as being wonderful, like the United Nations, because it's so subtle, it sounds like that means all these sovereign nations taking care of themselves are cooperating voluntarily, and that's what the UN is. And I don't think most people realize it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would have liked to see Trump kick it out of the U.S.
That would have been brilliant. And hopefully that'll still come. You know, he's withdrawn from a lot of UN agencies and agreements. We're getting out of UNESCO. We've got out of the UN Migration Compact. And so good things are happening on that front, but we need to go a lot further. So,
yeah, apparently money that the taxpayers pay to the UN then goes to NGOs and Soros-funded organizations and gets used to train the invasion forces to come in to the southern border.
Yep.
So the taxpayers are actually funding it.
Yeah.
Right. At least that's what I understood.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's exactly what's going on. So it's unbelievable, but that's what's happening.
Yeah. So in order for people to become more truly educated in all these things, which is, I think, what you were saying was necessary, how do they do that when they're in the middle of this brainwashing system?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of things. I would say, first of all, people need to start reading more, read more books, read the New American Magazine, you know, stop watching the fake media. But, you know, just do your own research. When the government tells you something, don't believe it. When the fake news tells you something, don't believe it. And do your own research. I mean, it's just absolutely critical that people start doing their own research.
So if somebody says, okay, I'll do my own research, what does that mean? How do I do it? Because most people wouldn't know what you mean by that, I don't think.
Well, I recommend, you know, getting books on things. You know, when I want to learn something about a particular topic, I go get books, right? Either you buy them or you go to the library. And also, I say the New American is a very good source. If you're curious about some topic, you know, just type into your favorite search engine, thenewamerican.com, and a particular subject, and that'll at least give you some leads to track down, right? You know,
those articles have references too, right?
Exactly. Yep. So people can take that and get an overview, and then they can follow up and see where the rabbit trail goes, so to speak.
I had an interesting experience trying to donate a couple of books to a library about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I went in there and said, well, our policy is, one of those books was written in 2005, and they said, we're trying to update our collection, so we want things that were written in the last 5 years.
And wow. I thought,
wow, that's intense. I mean, most of the great books in the whole world are not new.
We've had some libraries that have declined to carry our Crimes of the Educators, too, exposing the education system. And they come up with lame excuses, you know, but of course that's not the real reason why they don't want those things there. So,
right. If somebody wants to learn more about your school where you're a teacher, how do they do that?
Go to fpeusa.org. You know, if you have kids and you would like them to get a good education, learn how to read, write, think, you can put them in the school or you can take classes a la carte. You can choose, you know, I don't know anything about economics and I want my kids to know about that so I can sign up for that, or, you know, philosophy, logic, French, whatever it is you want to do. And that's a good option. It's a very, very cost-effective option. It costs, you know, less than a tenth of what a government school costs.
Wow.
So it's a good choice.
Mm-hmm. What about if they're worried about accreditation?
It's actually accredited through the National Association of Private Schools.
Okay. All right. So that's not an issue at all.
Nope.
And what age groups can go to your school?
K through 12.
Okay. Okay. And you have any kind of recommendations for the people that graduate and feel bad about the fact that they have to leave? I mean, what they should do next?
Well, there are some good universities out there. There's some decent universities out there. I would stay away from the state schools. But, you know, there are some private universities that don't take government funding that are significantly better than others. And, you know, you might also not need a college education, right? I mean, most of college education today is just more indoctrination and more brainwashing. And you go into $100,000 of debt to get that. That's crazy. Go start a business. Go be creative. Go, you know, make a living in an interesting way. You don't need a fancy piece of paper and $100,000 worth of debt to do that.
Yeah. A lot of people have asked me as far as the economic question of how to, you know, be successful in the world after you're out of school, that all of the good jobs, or the vast majority of them now, seem to be working for some kind of global corporations that are busy destroying the world.
Yep, that's what they want to do. Yeah, I mean, they want to get everybody trapped in the machine and make everybody dependent on the machine so that they can't get out of the machine. But there are a lot of options out there still for people who don't want to exist within the machine, so...
Individual options to start projects on your own and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Be creative. Use your brain. We're not slaves yet, and you can do all kinds of things. So
there must be groups working on that, too, that would give them support, I suspect.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, I know you have to get back to work, and it's getting pretty late over there, too. But what I would like to do is when it's over, sometime after Saturday or something, when you're ready, come back and tell us what the final results of the conference were. I think that would be
excellent.
Great.
I'm looking forward to it, Richard. So we'll plan to talk maybe next week or week after that, whenever it's good for you, and we'll make a plan.
Sounds great. Okay.
Awesome.
Have a good time at the rest of the meeting, and we'll talk to you after that.
Hey, thanks so much, Richard. Good to be with you.
Okay. Okay, everybody. So there goes Alex Newman. Really a great guest to have back. I'm looking forward to him coming back on the show when the conference is over and letting us know what happens. And you know, while he was talking, a lot of different things were going through my mind, and one of them was, even though the climate change thing is a complete scam, it's more subtle than that. You know, it's like there are a lot of things disrupting normal, harmonious climate patterns on the Earth right now, but the primary one, it seems to me, is almost certainly geoengineering. I mean, I wouldn't even say almost, definitely geoengineering. And a lot of days where I live, and probably where you live too, the sky is just completely covered with haze and none of it's real clouds. And I've pointed that out to people that I've walked up to on the street or in the park or something. And most of them just say, are you insane? Is that your problem? You know, it's one guy just walked away laughing, and he couldn't believe it. You know, it's too strange, and I don't blame them, because we're living inside of a pretty much unbelievable, unrealistic sci-fi movie, except that it's real. So the climate change thing is real, and man-made climate change is a threat to humanity, as we said on the discussion with Alex. But it's not because you don't turn your air conditioner off. You know, even that part of it. As I was starting to bring up with Alex, yeah, I don't think there's any shortage of petroleum fuel sources, and I think that evidence looks like it's being produced constantly in the crust of the Earth, but that doesn't mean you should be burning it. And the only reason I think we're stuck with that is that the clean, free sources of energy that I mentioned, that We don't need to discover them. It's been done. It's been discovered already. Look at the work of Dr. Stephen Greer in detail, and if you want to know more about it. But the problem is that the technologies that the government has that would end energy-related pollution completely, they're absolutely determined that we'll never get. And the ones that private inventors come up with, those are suppressed, and the inventors are either intimidated and or killed. As I mentioned, the guy with driving a car on water, just look that up on the internet, and stories are all over. And I know from Stephen Greer that his family, after Stanley was killed, his family had all the papers from his experiments, and they would show somebody else how to start driving a car on water. It's really not a problem. And the discovery that was making that possible was a low energy input water hydrolysis system with tiny bits of electric current that separated the oxygen from the hydrogen in the water and dripped the hydrogen into the engine, and it worked great, and he drove all over the country with that. So anyway, they had an auction, which Dr. Greer talks about, and in fact he was in the auction, didn't bid high enough, and this investor group did bid high enough and they took it, and that was a group. And in a short time, they were all dead, and the technology, the papers were gone. So that's the real energy policy of the country and most of the world right now. Otherwise, those technologies are available right now. So the idea that you have to use less power so that you'll have less emissions and less drain on the energy system, that's all a scam. None of it's been necessary for at least 100 years in recent times. And the issue is not the lack of technological breakthroughs. The issue is who's in control of them right now. And as long as the power structure decides to hold on to it and hide it, it doesn't allow as good of a future for humanity, to say the least. And then they have conferences, and as we said in the discussion with Alex, most of the people going to those conferences think they're actually saving the world and doing something really good. I'm sure most of the people working for the United Nations, which is a lot of people, most of them think they're doing good too. Most of the people working for government agencies believe that. And you know, when EPA in the U.S. does things like fine people for collecting rainwater, they should be out stopping toxic projects like Monsanto and Bayer and Syngenta and the pesticide and fertilizer companies that have also never been needed. That's a total hoax as well. EPA has and the similar organizations in other countries have legitimate functions. They're just doing the opposite. So the current president was correct in getting rid of a lot of the terrible regulations and taxes and things. That's why the economy started coming back in this country. And now the central bank, known euphemistically as the Federal Reserve, is fulfilling its function to destroy the current president by crashing the economy. And that's what they're literally doing by raising interest rates again and again and again, shorting the markets with unlimited money that they can just issue with at will, with no accountability to anybody. Those are the real environmental issues. And as far as I can tell, and I've been involved in organic agriculture since 1967 at least, the chemical fertilizers were never necessary. And they're always counterproductive, and they produce food that's not as nutritious and all kinds of things like that that lead to worse health conditions. So if you really take care of the soil and you make rock dust in there and you generate your own organic matter and all that, that can be done. And in fact, Organic Consumers Association, which is a really good group, they're just unaware of certain things, but they're good on the idea that we need regenerative agriculture, and that's what I'm trying to describe. Those things are connected to whether it's true, but you don't have to get plastic bags and collect the methane coming out of cows. That's not brilliant, and it's just so ridiculous. It's amazing that any of us fall for any of that stuff. So the whole Gaia consciousness thing and the climate disruption things, those are all being used as a total scam, but there's truth in it. You know, it's just being misused, and that's the scam part. And the truth is that the same people behind the global warming and climate change scare, where you're supposed to be as terrified of that and as worried about it as possible, and they're not covering that up. They're trying to make it worse and appear worse as much as they can. That is a scam, but the real disruption of the normal life support systems on the planet is real. And as Alex was saying, the only way for people to have a chance to do anything about that is real education. And so the government has taken over education and turned it into a system of memorizing what they think is acceptable things to believe. Almost nothing to do with real education, which always has to start with yourself, because if you don't perfect the instrument that you've got to work through, in other words, your perception, the state of health of your physical body and all that, then you're not going to be able to pick up what you're supposed to be observing. So the whole system needs to be regenerated. And Alex's school is worth looking at, I think, for people wondering where to send their kids for the lower grades. And then, as he said, there are some universities and colleges that are private that are actually doing some good stuff. And you just have to do the searching to find out where they are. And if your kids are in public school, you got to stay aware of what's being done to them. I think that's really important, and not just assume that the teachers are great people. They may be, but they are following orders from the Consolidated Unconstitutional Department of Education in the U.S. and similar organizations in other parts of the world. So it's just a responsibility. If you have kids, you got to put in the time and effort to stay aware of what's going on, not let video games just babysit them all the time. And anyway, all this is so tied together. Alex is going to tell us what happens at the rest of the conference. They are trying to come up with a plan with all these well-meaning participants, I think. And that plan is to crack down on your personal freedom in the name of saving the Earth. Completely ridiculous. Even though the biosphere is in peril, and its total survival is really in question. But not because of any of what they're saying at the conference. And that subtle distinction is apparently beyond most of the participants, and they really think they're doing good. They're being trained now that free market capitalism is evil, and as Alex said in the beginning, socialism or communism is really the way to solve everything, because you'll all be taken care of, everybody gets everything they need for free, and you don't have to worry anymore about anything. What is missing from that explanation is that once you're getting everything from the government, like they're proposing in Scandinavia and some other places now, what do they call it, basic subsistence income or something, some of these people who don't understand say, yeah, that's fantastic. No, it's not fantastic at all, because government is connected to global corporations that have completely malicious agendas masquerading as benevolent. And once you're dependent on them for your survival, you have to do whatever they say. That's the reason they want to offer it, not because they like you so much. It's a system of control. So that's what this show is about. And I think they're right now they see the climate worry. The more worried you are about global warming and climate change, the more receptive you'll be to slavery. And none of it's necessary. Stop the geoengineering. Fertilize the soil with real fertilizers and rock dust and organic matter and organic manure, and not chemical fertilizers and GMOs. And between those two things, climate's going to stabilize like it used to be. So the answers aren't hard. It's just you got big, powerful forces trying to make sure that you never find out what's going on. It's all tied together, and even education is emphasizing specialization and teaching people such narrow areas of expertise that they'll be unable to see the big picture. And only by understanding the big picture can real solutions emerge. So we got to start our own education. And like Alex says, start doing yours right now. I think it'd be a good idea. I'm working on the same thing, so we can do it together. It's not an ego thing about memorizing something to show that you're right and the other guy's wrong, and oh, what an idiot, you know, I'm the only one who knows anything. It's not really like that. It's like we're all working together. We don't care if we're making a mistake, because that's going to happen. just find out, appreciate the input of the other person, correct yourself, and help each other, and we get toward more and more understanding. One of our projects now to really put that in a supportive environment is Planetary Healing Club. If you want to find out about that, go to planetaryhealingclub.com, and it's a meeting once a week, and I'll be there live every week, and we can interact and share some information that's a little bit too delicate to get into in detail on the public venue. But we're doing it there every week if you get interested. Otherwise, we'll put up the free videos that we can on the major platforms where we haven't been kicked off yet, amazingly, and try to be careful of keywords that AI bots will pick up and stay up there as long as possible. But when we finally get kicked off and they figure out what we're doing, then find us on brighteon.com. That's brighteon.com, a site that is an alternative to YouTube where they won't be censoring. And you can always check where we are by going to lostartsradio.com. Remember the weekly Sunday shows and the news show that we've got on Saturday afternoon, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. And any one of those that you get time for, I'll look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for being with us, and see you again next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio Live, our new Saturday late afternoon, early evening, 1 hour live stream show. This new show precedes our Planetary Healing Club, which starts at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. The Planetary Healing Club, which is not free and open to the public, but you can join for a minimum donation of just $10 a month. Our new live stream show, which is free, starts Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and 4:30 Pacific. It can be accessed by going to lostartsradio.com/live. You can tune into our live stream from our Facebook page at facebook.com/lostartsradio, from our YouTube channel at youtube.com/lostartsradio, as well as both Periscope and Twitter at Lost Arts Radio. You can ask questions during the show by using the chat function on YouTube or make a comment on Facebook during the live stream. Once again, that's Lost Arts Radio Live, Saturdays at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. As of January 2018, the Saturday live call-in show is now an interactive video platform called the Planetary Healing Club. The cost is just a $10 minimum monthly donation, automatically billed through your PayPal account. Sign up at lostartsradio.com/club. The Planetary Healing Club is every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. You get your link to participate in the show upon signing up as a member. Those shows are also archived as well for club members. Listen to our new shows with guests every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. All Sunday shows with guests have archives freely available on our website at lostartsradio.com. You can also find them at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, as well as our YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/LostArtsRadio. Mixcloud at mixcloud.com/LostArtsRadio. And finally, look us up under the podcast directory on iTunes. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LostArtsRadio or on Twitter at Lost Arts Radio. Be sure to join the free Lost Arts Radio Facebook group as well. Just search for Lost Arts Radio Group within Facebook. You can also join our forum on our website if you want to interact with other listeners. We also have links to all of the great independent musicians whose music we feature each week on Lost Arts Radio. When you do your Amazon shopping, please use Amazon Smile program at smile.amazon.com. And when you choose Lost Arts Research Institute in Sedona, Arizona as your charity, Amazon will donate 0.5% of whatever your order total is to Lost Arts Research Institute to help fund the building of the school and keep our radio show on the air. Please visit lostartsresearchinstitute.org for more information on the school we want to build. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter on our site under the Radio Show tab or right from the button on our Facebook page. Contact Richard at richard@lostartsradio.com or myself, Doug Diamond, at doug@lostartsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to Lost Arts Radio, and we'll see you again next week.
Don't care what people say. All I wanna do is walk my way and get ready to be surprised. Things don't look too good these days. Humankind's chasing its own tail, but get ready to be surprised. I don't care about the dust. Baby, get ready to be surprised. Don't care what people say. All I wanna do is live for today and get ready. Now it's time to let it all go. Feel the love is all there is to know. And get ready to be surprised. I don't care about the past. Old memories turn to dust. Baby, get ready. It's all about you and get ready to be surprised. I don't care about the past. Old memories turn to dust. Baby, get ready to be surprised. Nothing's gonna stop me anymore. Driving on a road I've never seen before. Surprise, baby, get ready.